Alice took Mary away to make you chase after her, Will said simply. They want you to go ask her to dance before some other guy beats you to it.
How do you know that? Vince asked.
Could be a lot of things. Could be that I have a much higher IQ than you guys. Could be because I grew up with a twin sister and have a slight insight into how girls think. Could be the bug I slipped on to Jill before we came out tonight,
Will said, pointing to his ear. Closer inspection would reveal a small device nestled in one of its cartilage curves.
You're kidding, Nick declared.
Not at all, Will said. My sister has a tendency toward telling very large, very gay men how sexy I think they are when we are out at clubs. She finds it endlessly hilarious. Thus, I've begun taking precautions so I can at least be forewarned when she hatches such a scheme.
Yeesh. Glad I'm an only child, Nick said.
Wait, so they did that specifically so I would ask Mary to dance? And Mary went along with it, so that means she wants me to ask, right?
Herschel said uncertainly.
I have no problem betraying my sister's confidence. Mary's is another matter. If you want to find out whether she wants to dance with you or not, then I suggest you ask her,
Will told him.
Why don't we all go in there? Vince said. That way Herschel doesn't seem like he was following them. It's on all of us.
Works for me, Nick said.
I'll stay here and hold the booth,
Will volunteered. Vince waved him off.
There are plenty of booths. We can get another. You should come with us.
Normally, I would agree. However, it seems Jill just located a bodybuilder in that room and is describing her very flexible, very experimental brother,
Will explained.
Oh. Well then, see you in a few, Vince said.
I'll be here,
Will cheerfully replied.
81.
Why, hello there, you foxy ladies!
Get lost, dirtbag!
Alice snapped at the poor male uttering such a trite line.
Dirtbag? Really? I think I have more fastidious hygiene than even you, princess!
Nick shot back, having been the poor line-delivering male in question.
You drop a sleazy opener, you gotta be prepared for the consequences,
Alice said with a shrug.
What brings you boys out here?
Nick had approached Alice and Mary with Herschel, Vince, and Alex just a few steps behind. The girls were standing by a large door that opened into the dance room. There were ample people huddling in the same area, since it provided an excellent balance. It was outdoors, but the body heat from the physical activity rolled out, creating a pleasant temperature. Plus, it allowed one to see the gyrating and be approached, while still far enough from the eardrum-shattering music to hold a conversation.
I thought I might grace one of these lucky gals with the pleasure of my company on the dance floor, Nick said.
And I thought we might be needed to tend to the wounds after he gets slapped silly, Vince joined in.
One time I got slapped at Halloween and you punks won't let it go, Nick said.
She slapped you with a Bible, man. That's the sort of thing that sticks in people's minds,
Alex reminded him.
Fascinating as you boys are, could you proceed with Nick's slapfest elsewhere? No men are going to want to approach us if we're already surrounded by other guys,
Alice said, proving just how little she knew about real-world courting and the opposite sex.
I don't mind if they hang out,
Mary countered.
Maybe not, but that hunky guy in the tank top who's been eyeing you will. Priorities, sweetheart, seriously,
Alice said, taking Mary's hand and dragging her away from the boys.
There is no hunky guy in a tank top, is there?
Mary asked as she was pulled.
Oh, no, there is. He's just making eyes at a trampy blonde in the corner,
Alice explained. Mary glanced over and noticed the girl.
She's dressed like everyone else. What exactly makes her trampy? The fact that the hot guy is looking at her instead of us.
And again, we have Sausage Fest, Nick said with a sigh.
It's easy to correct, though. Let's go hit the dance floor and grab us some hotties, Alex pointed out.
Not a bad idea. Hey, guys! Vince! Alex!
The boys turned their heads to find Thomas jogging over to them from the entrance.
Hey, what's going on? Did you get my message? Vince asked.
I didn't know you left one, so no,
Thomas said, shaking his head.
Stella took my and her other friends' phones after gym. She said we were all going out tonight to have some fun, or she'd crush them.
That's certainly aggressive,
Herschel said, after some hasty vocabulary scrambling.
That's Stella. She doesn't take no for an answer. It was well-intentioned, though. If she hadn't done it, we'd have all stayed in and licked our wounds instead of going out,
Thomas said, a slight defensiveness in his voice.
You keep referencing we, but you're the only one here, Nick said.
Oh, yeah, the girls went to go check their purses at the front counter, Thomas explained.
Thank the gods, you brought more women, Nick said.
I did, and actually I think they're coming out now, if my vision serves me well.
Sure enough, Stella's trademark blonde braids appeared around the same corner Thomas had come from, Violet following close behind, and Camille looking around nervously at the end of the line. They spotted Thomas and the others and began making their way over, with the exception of Camille, who suddenly went stock still and had an intense inner debate before finally following suit.
Don't I know you?
Aren't guys the ones who are supposed to use that line? Alice replied.
No, I'm serious,
said the speaker, a brunette who had been walking past them. She had shoulder-length hair and an infectious smile.
We had poli-sci together last semester. You were the chick with her hand always in the air.
Alice studied the girl for a moment. She did indeed look familiar. And now that Alice was thinking, there had been a similarly cheery voice echoing through the class from time to time.
I think you're right, Alice admitted. I'm Alice.
I'm Natalie,
Natalie said.
But everyone calls me Bubbles. So how have you been?
Good, I guess, Alice said. You know, past the class, now on to new ones. You?
I'm doing awesome! I managed to squeak by that one in my math class, and I only barely failed Shakespearean literature, so it's way fewer classes than I thought I'd have to be retaking. Aside from that, I went skiing with my family over break, and that was so much fun. Then there was Christmas, and I mean, seriously, who doesn't love Christmas? Plus, I'm out tonight with my new roommate and his best friend and just having a crazy good time. The guys are so cute out here, right? So who's your friend?
I'm Mary, and I think I can see why they call you Bubbles. You certainly have a cheerful attitude.
Aw, that is so nice! Thank you, Bubbles said. Yeah, that's what everyone thinks at first, but no, that's not why they call me Bubbles. I got my nickname because I have the cutest ability ever. I can make bubbles appear all over the place. It makes for some awesome foam parties like you wouldn't believe. I mean, last year my friend Jenny and I went to this kegger and...
Wait, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I need clarification, Alice said. What do you mean you can make bubbles appear?
I can make them appear, Bubbles replied.
She raised open her hand, and sure enough, bubbles began glistening into existence a few inches above it.
I can do all sorts of sizes and numbers of them, too. I'm really good at it.
So you're a super?
Alice said, more out of disbelief than as a genuine question.
Yup. You should meet my roommate. His ability is even cooler. He's a powered, though, so he can't really do it on demand, but it's still super neat. Come on, I'll introduce you,
Bubbles declared, virtually bouncing off toward a lounge room.
I don't think it's the best idea for us to be seen with supers who are out in the open with their abilities,
Mary whispered.
No, it is definitely a bad idea, but I didn't know there were any supers here outside of the HCP. And to be honest, I've never met another powered.
Cheery McChatter isn't my first choice for a hanging out companion either, but I'm not sure I can walk away from this without seeing at least a little bit more. Can you?
Alice whispered back. Mary couldn't.
82. Camille couldn't believe she'd let herself wind up in this situation. She should have just let Stella crush the phone instead of strong-arming her out tonight. It wasn't just Stella and Violet forcing her that had convinced her to leave the dorm, though. It was a desire to get away from the events of the day. She didn't want to sit at home and brood all night, so she thought going out with her friends, even to a place she had zero desire to be, would at least get her mind off the encounter with Vince. Seeing as Vince was now standing only a few feet away from her, that plan had failed about as horrifically as was conceivably possible. The others were talking and figuring out where to go next, but Camille was just trying to maintain and hold it together. Every now and then, she would catch Vince's eyes darting over to her. She reassured herself it was okay each time. He didn't remember her. She might look familiar, but there was no way he would place her. It had probably just been another day for him, and it was all so long ago.
"Hey!"
Vince said, snapping his fingers and looking at Camille. "I just remembered where I know you from." Camille let out a very soft, very high-pitched squeak and turned bright red.
"Freak! Weirdo! Monster!"
"Leave me alone!"
Camille cried softly, curled up in a ball on the concrete. She just wanted to walk down to the pool. The day was so hot. She should have known better. Of course the other kids would be out with the same idea. Of course they would see her. She felt so stupid as she lay there, waiting for them to tire of throwing sticks and insults at her. She hoped it wouldn't be much longer. Usually by now, an adult would have come by.
"My daddy says supers are a menace!"
Billy yelled at her, hurling a good-sized branch. Thankfully, his small arms hadn't yet learned to aim well.
"They're heroes!"
Camille yelled back. She shouldn't have done that. She regretted it the minute she did. She should have just laid there and been quiet while they assaulted her. Now it would be worse.
"Nuh-uh,"
Rick said, dropping his own stick and walking over to her. Billy might be the leader, but Rick was the enforcer, always willing to walk the extra mile of pain where others would shy off.
"Only a few of them are heroes, and they don't fix everything the others mess up."
"I'm sorry,"
Camille sobbed.
"You're a freak,"
Rick said, kicking her once in the back. This was new. They'd never gotten close to hurt her before. It was tentative. Rick was testing the waters. He kicked her once more. A whole new world of possibilities was opening up before his cruel little eyes. It seemed girls weren't immune to being hit the way everybody tried to teach him. There was no magical force stopping him from kicking the freak just like she was a boy. He did it again, just to reinforce the point. She let a cry slip past her lips when he did it this time. A smile began to form on his face. It lingered there for only a moment, before a set of knuckles crashed into it, fracturing his jaw and knocking out several teeth in the process.
"Who the hell's—"
Rick gurgled from his bloody mouth, trying to pull himself up from the ground. Camille opened her eyes as well, curiosity at the sudden silence that had fallen over her tormentors. Both the downed torturer and the saved victim looked up and saw the boy who had saved her.
It was an image that would stay with both of them for the rest of their lives. He was long and lean, with clothes that looked like they hadn't been washed in weeks, if ever. There was some dirt on his hands and face, his skin tan from all the time spent outdoors. His eyes were a gleaming blue, and his hair was curiously colored a metallic silver.
"You don't hit girls,"
the boy said simply. He extended a hand to Camille, who gladly took it and was pulled to her feet.
"Hey, you can't just punch our friend,"
Billy said. The others had been momentarily struck dumb when this strange kid had run across the street of their small suburb and cold-cocked Rick, but they were coming round to their senses. One such sense was the ability to realize it was still five of them against one of him.
"He was kicking a girl,"
the boy replied.
"Well, now we're gonna beat both of you up,"
Billy said, motioning for the others to begin closing in. The boy looked at the other children, then at Billy. Then, his blue eyes stared at Camille for several seconds. He turned back to Billy and shook his head.
"No."
"What do you mean, no?"
Billy asked, confused.
"I mean, I can't let you beat us up. I won't let you hurt her,"
the boy replied, with that same unwavering tone. There was no fear, no uncertainty, just a calm denial of what was about to happen.
"You think you can take us all?"
"Yes."
Billy glanced at the others. They were growing restless. This kid wasn't responding the way others did when confronted with a large group. They were beginning to wonder if something was different here. If he wanted to maintain control, Billy had to act now.
"Fine. Forget the freak. Get him!"
Billy yelled, charging at the boy. The others hesitated only a moment before doing the same. Billy ran head-on, expecting to sink his shoulder into the boy's gut and drive him to the ground. Instead, he felt a fist bury itself in his ear, destroying his sense of balance and sending him sprawling. By the time he was able to right himself and look up, it was already over. There were bloody noses and faces on his companions, who were scattered around the ground. But the boy was still standing in the same spot, looking unharmed.
"You don't hit girls," the boy said one last time, "or people like me will stop you."
He turned to Camille.
"I'll walk you home."
"Thank you,"
she said, tears still falling down her face, though she wasn't quite sure why anymore. The two walked in silence for the first block or so, the boy naturally silent, and Camille uncertain of what to say. Finally, she decided to begin with the basics.
"What's your name?"
she asked the boy.
"Vince,"
he replied.
"Yours?"
"Cammy Belden,"
she said, preferring the nickname her parents had given her to the stuffy one she'd been born with.
"It's nice to meet you, Vince. What's your last name?"
"I don't have one," he replied. "My dad says he threw his away, so he doesn't have one to pass on to me. He also says if I grow into a good man, he'll help me find one, though."
"Oh, that's cool,"
Camille said, not sure of what to make of such a thing.
"How old are you?"
9. "You?"
"I'm 9, too,"
she said, smiling inwardly. He was the same age as she was. That made her inexplicably happy.
"Neat,"
Vince said.
"You seem pretty nice. I'm sorry those guys were being so mean to you."
Camille shook her head.
"It's not about me being nice.
They don't like me because I'm a super. They say it makes me a freak.
You're a super?
Vince yelped, his voice full of shock.
Yes,
Camille said, kicking herself once more for opening her big mouth. He probably hated them too, and now he would hate her and be sad he'd even bothered saving her. Why did she say anything?
That's awesome, Vince said excitedly. What's your ability? Is it cool? How long have you known?
Camille didn't quite know how to respond to this. Everyone said being a super was great, yet everyone she met seemed to treat her badly because of it. Camille was too young to understand something as complex as that level of jealousy, but she could still feel the hatred from it. Vince wasn't acting that way, though. He really seemed to like it.
I take away scrapes and bruises by touching someone,
Camille explained.
But then I can also give those scrapes and bruises to other people if I touch them.
Oh, wow. So you're sort of an absorber, then.
Absorber?
It means you kind of take something into yourself, hold it there, then release it when you want to. It's what my father says I am,
Vince explained.
You're a super, too?
Camille asked.
No.
Vince's face fell immediately, and his pace slowed down a touch.
I'm just a powered. I can't really control my ability at all. I just make batteries go dead or kill the campfire by accident. When it comes out, it's worse, though. I've set things on fire by accident 3 times just this year.
I'm sorry,
Camille said.
It's okay,
Vince said, shrugging off the dour mood.
I just have to help people in different ways, like by learning how to fight.
You sure did that,
Camille said, remembering how he'd so easily knocked down the children that had seemed unstoppable to her for so long.
I still have a long way to go,
Vince said.
Besides, I don't like fighting very much. I already hurt people enough by accident with my power. You're lucky you get to make them feel better.
I don't feel lucky,
Camille admitted for the first time. She'd never met anyone else with powers before. Never had anyone to talk about this sort of thing with.
I feel like nobody likes me. Like I'm always getting picked on just because I can do something they can't. I don't even want to do it. I just want to be normal.
Tears once again found their way down her small cheeks.
You're not using it. Maybe that's why you hate it so much,
Vince told her.
What do you mean?
I mean, you're special. You can do something others can't, no matter how hard they work at it. You won't ever be normal. You can be a super, though. You can use your ability to help people and make a difference.
But they'll still hate me,
Camille said.
Maybe. Maybe not. Either way, won't you be happier as the one saving people than the one needing saving?
I don't know,
Camille admitted.
Might be worth trying. My father always says we have to be the best version of us, instead of trying to be someone else. I really want to be a super, instead of a powered. No amount of wishing will make that happen, though. So instead, I'm just trying to be a better powered,
Vince said.
I guess that sort of makes sense,
Camille said hesitantly.
This white one is my house.
Oh, okay,
Vince said.
It was nice to meet you, Cammy.
It was. We could hang out again sometime,
she ventured hopefully.
What street do you live on?
I don't,
Vince replied.
My father and I are just passing through. I have to go meet him soon, actually. We're catching a train out of town tonight.
Oh, so I won't see you again?
Camille asked.
Probably not. The trains don't come through here too often,
Vince said.
Well then, thank you again,
she said, heartbreak already seeping in. Her hero, the first real friend she'd had, wouldn't even be here for one more night. That hurt more than anything Billy or Rick had ever done. That's when Camille did possibly the first, but by no means the last, brave thing of her life. She whirled around and quickly planted a peck right on Vince's lips. That accomplished, Camille dashed up the sidewalk to the front door of her house, pausing only briefly to glance back and see his reaction. Vince's cheeks were bright red, but there was a smile on his face. It nearly matched the one nestled firmly on Camille's. Neither knew it, but they were both each other's first kiss.
Hey!
Vince said, snapping his fingers and looking at Camille.
I just remembered where I know you from.
Camille let out a very soft, very high-pitched squeak and turned bright red.
You were the healer at Jill and Sasha's fight, weren't you? Vince asked.
Camille slowly nodded her head and prayed the blood would move away from her face sometime soon.
Ah, great. I knew you looked familiar. That was driving me crazy.
83.
So, Alice and Mary, this is my roommate Larry, but we all call him El-Ray, and his best friend Steve. Steve doesn't really have a nickname yet,
Bubbles said.
And I cannot put into words how thankful I am for that,
Steve added.
Just so I'm clear here, it's Bubbles, El-Ray, and Steve?
Alice asked, a part of her very much hoping she would be corrected. Unfortunately, yes, El-Ray confirmed for her. It's nice to meet both of you.
Ditto,
Steve agreed. While Bubbles looked more or less normal for a girl her age, El-Ray stood out significantly more. He wore a skin-tight purple shirt cut in a long V-neck, snug black jeans that left just a bit too little to the imagination, and purple sneakers. All of this was topped off by black hair with the tips dyed purple, and a generous smearing of silver makeup all around his eyes. El-Ray looked even stranger when compared to Steve. Steve was wearing a simple polo, khakis, and sensible shoes. His hair was trimmed in a crew cut, and he had the look of a man who definitely knew how to work out and eat right. Neither of the girls would have been surprised to learn he was enrolled in the ROTC program, which he was.
It's nice to meet you both as well, Alice said. I had a class with Bubbles last semester. Forgive me, but I thought Bubbles said she was introducing us to her roommate,
Mary said.
She is. I'm her roommate. Turns out Lander is pretty laid back about a co-ed arrangement, as long as one of you is gay. I suspect there was a civil suit somewhere along the line,
El-Ray speculated.
Oh, don't be silly, Bubbles said. I bet they just want everyone to live with the people they have the most fun with. Ooh, this year will be so awesome and we'll have so much fun. I've already got some awesome plans for the next weekend.
That sounds wonderful, darling, but first, would you grab us some bottled waters? Just put it on my tab at the bar, El-Ray asked her.
Sure thing.
With that, Bubbles scampered off to wait in a long line of patrons. Lovely girl, but I've found it's best to distract her when meeting new people, or else nothing besides opening pleasantries get exchanged, El-Ray explained once she was gone. So, what are your majors? What year are you? And Mary, can I just say I love your contacts? They go so well with your skin tone.
Thank you,
Mary said, not wanting to correct him. Things like her amber eyes or Vince's hair were often hallmarks of people born with powers. The only blessing was that so many people wanted to be perceived as supers that such cosmetic versions of these non-human features were almost commonplace, allowing the real ones a bit of room to blend in. There were some who believed this fashion trend had been instigated and kept buoyant by a conspiracy of supers so they could at least halfway blend in.
I like your eye makeup.
Really? I felt like it was a bit over the top, but then again, I saw some guy walking around in here with all of his hair done up in silver, so at least I'm not the most garish one in the room, El-Rey said. The truth is, I prefer to dress a bit more subdued normally, but the makeup is the only part of my outfit that's mandatory. Thus, I figure it's better to at least appear as if I was going for a specific look. But listen to me, rambling like bubbles.
No, it's interesting, Alice said. Why is the makeup mandatory, though?
He's a powered, Steve answered for his friend. He has to wear it pretty much all the time.
I'm afraid I still don't get it,
Alice admitted. I have spontaneous X-ray vision, El-Rey told her. It just happens at random intervals. The makeup I wear is specially made with lead in it. That way, when it kicks on, I can just close my eyes.
Right, because eyelids don't stop X-rays on their own, Alice said, comprehension dawning. And depending on how much you see through, that could be quite a horrifying sight,
Mary added.
Exactly, Steve agreed with them.
I must say, you're taking this well. A lot of people get uncomfortable when they find out I'm a powered, El-Rey admitted. Alice and Mary resisted the urge to exchange telltale glances. Barely, but they did.
I guess we're just open-minded, Alice said, with a slightly too large grin.
So it seems, El-Rey concurred. Anyway, I believe you were telling us about yourselves.
So, ladies, which one of you wants to take the first sachet around the floor with the dance master? Nick asked.
Pass,
Violet said.
No, thank you,
Camille replied.
Lose the shades and maybe we'll talk,
Stella shot back.
No dice, Toots. The shades can be considered welded into my face, Nick said.
Guess that means you're back to asking some other lady if she wants the pleasure of your company, Vince chuckled. I'm sure they'll be more receptive to your charms.
As long as none of them has a Bible on hand, Alex added.
Wait, what now?
Thomas asked.
Oh, we haven't told you this story yet?
Alex asked in surprise.
Boy, it's a good one.
Screw you guys. I'm getting a water at the bar and picking up some girl with self-esteem issues. You'll see. Next time your eyes fall on Nick Campbell, it will be as a gorgeous woman swoons into his arms,
Nick declared, half walking, half storming off inside.
You think we were too mean? Vince said, suddenly concerned.
Nah, Nick loves having all eyes on him. Hell, sometimes I think he messes up with girls on purpose just for the stories. Trust me on this one. He's feeling just fine,
Alex assured him. Vince decided to take his word for it, because while Alex might not have Mary's precision, he was more than capable of picking up on feelings.
So what now? Herschel asked.
Much as Nick can be a bit peculiar in his methods, I say we take his idea and go dance,
Violet said.
Thomas, would you care to start me off, for old time's sake?
Of course,
Thomas replied, with a gentlemanly nod of his head.
No way I'm sitting that out, Stella declared. Herschel, your other persona seems to have some moves. Want to do a spin on the floor?
Sure, I guess so,
Herschel reluctantly agreed. He would have rather been dancing with Mary, but he didn't see the strength of will to make that happen coming any time soon. Besides, this seemed innocent enough.
Only one girl left,
Alex pointed out. Vince, if you don't mind, can I steal her away?
Sure thing, Vince replied. I really don't feel like dancing with someone besides my girlfriend anyway.
Well,
Camille said, hesitating. She really didn't have any urge to go gyrate on the dance floor with some man she barely knew. But then again, the other option was staying here with Vince, possibly alone if Alex decided to search for another partner. As soon as that thought raced into her head, the decision was made.
That sounds lovely.
And that's how I decided to major in geology, El Rey finished explaining. Bubbles squealed, dashing up to their cluster and passing out waters.
Sweet heaven, I think my eardrum just killed itself,
Steve complained. Calm down, darling. What's got you in such a tizzy? El Rey said, working with more patience than Alice believed she could have mustered under such auditory assault.
Oh my god, I totally saw that guy and he was—
Spaces, Bubbles. I need spaces between the words to understand them, El Rey instructed her. Bubbles took a few deep, rapid breaths and tried again.
You know that really cute guy I told you about that I see around campus who looks really cool and fun and all? Well, I was up there getting the water and he got in line just a few people behind me and he's still there and what should I do?
Well, that was better. No punctuation, but then I didn't ask for any, so I've only got myself to blame, El Rey said.
Just go up and talk to him. You're an adorable girl. I'm sure he'd love to meet and hit on you.
I don't know. He's really cute. I bet girls come up to him all the time, and I bet I'm not as pretty by comparison,
Bubbles said uncertainly.
Which guy is it?
Alice asked, trying to see through the throngs of people at the bar.
He's wearing a green shirt, jeans, and these awesome sunglasses,
Bubbles told her.
Wait, sunglasses?
Sure enough, Nick was by the bar, a bottle of cold water pressed to his lips, and the standard shades still in place. The next words out of Alice's mouth were a prime example of how the tongue can rush forward before the brain's diplomatic instincts have any chance to intervene.
You have got to be fucking kidding me.
84.
She's surprised at the coincidence, Mary said quickly. That guy you were talking about is a friend of ours named Nick.
Holy crap, really? You know him? Be honest with me, does he already have a girlfriend or is he just playing the field?
Bubbles asked.
Him? Really? Him?
Alice said.
Yes, she's talking about our friend,
Mary assured her.
Such coincidences do happen. And Bubbles, he is still single to the very best of my knowledge.
That is so awesome! You have to introduce me. Will you please introduce me? Every time I see him on campus, I totally want to say something, but I just think it seems so desperate. Pretty please introduce us.
Every time you see him?
Alice said once more, her mind still not congealing the facts being presented to her.
I would love to introduce you,
Mary said.
Just come with me. Cute? Him? Really?
We don't have to dance much if you don't want to,
Alex told Camille once they had put a significant distance between themselves and Vince.
I just thought you might like an exit.
What are you talking?
Camille began to ask. Then basic memory function kicked in.
Right. You're the other telepath in the class.
I'm not a... Look, that isn't important,
Alex said patiently.
The point is, I had a sense of how uncomfortable you were feeling, and I wanted to help.
Thank you,
Camille said sincerely.
If you're in the mood, though, I wouldn't mind a little dancing, Alex added.
I think that would be okay,
Camille agreed, oddly more comfortable with this boy, despite the fact that her mental privacy had been a bit violated.
I should also mention that while I don't know what makes you so uneasy around Vince, there's no need to be. I can promise you, he's a really good guy.
Camille wasn't quite able to stop herself from glancing over her shoulder at Vince's silhouette against the two bright lights of the club.
I know.
Hey, Nick, this is my friend Bubbles,
Mary said, approaching him. Hey, Mary. Hi, Bubbles. Interesting name. Story I should be aware of?
Hi, Nick. Nice to meet you. I really like your sunglasses. Why do you wear them indoors, though? Is it a prescription thing? My mom does that when her contacts fall out or when she loses her normal pair or wants to look pretty because she thinks they make her look like Audrey Hepburn even though they don't, but no one tells her because we love her.
You know what? I think I can put the pieces together myself, Nick said. He looked over this new girl. She was yappy. That was pretty much the definition of evident. She was chipper, though, and that was a plus. Happy people asked fewer questions and demanded less attention, or so he'd found. It didn't hurt that she was cute, too. Tall, with chestnut-brown hair, and not easily ignorable curves to her body. Not to mention, she was clearly at a ridiculous level of into him. This would work. Bubbles, I don't mean to be forward, but would you like to dance? Nick asked casually.
Yes!
She grabbed his hand and began pulling him toward the room where the music was blasting. It wasn't a perfect situation. Nick would freely admit that. She couldn't talk over the music, though, and he had made the boast that he would next be on the floor with a beautiful woman. It could have been worse. Meanwhile, Mary, having been almost immediately abandoned, made her way back over to the others.
That went fast, Steve commented.
What Nick lacks in game, he makes up for in luck, Mary said truthfully.
Admittedly, the discrepancy was a much different ratio than those who couldn't read his mind might guess, but the statement was still basically honest.
She was into Nick,
Alice said, still somewhat coming to terms with the idea.
It was bound to happen eventually, Steve said. Your friend is pretty good-looking.
How am I missing this?
Alice asked uncertainly.
While Little Miss Not Big on Facing the Obvious wraps her head around some truth, you ladies want to keep an eye on them on the dance floor?
El Rey asked. At least, you know, we won't try to cop a feel.
We?
Mary said.
I mean, I know you're gay, but I didn't know Steve was.
Gay is a Broadway musical ensemble, Steve assured her. We don't all fit the stereotypes.
Mary blushed. She'd gotten so used to her telepathy that she found herself making serious social blunders without it.
I'm sorry. That was insensitive and stupid of me.
Steve patted her shoulder.
Nothing to worry about. It happens all the time. El Rey is a little more flamboyant than I am, and that tends to draw the attention of most people's gaydar.
I'm still sorry, Mary repeated, but I'd love to take you both up on your offer. Let's go cut a rug.
El Rey laughed. Oh, you are just precious. So it was that everyone except Vince, Will, and Jill found themselves on the dance floor. The sweaty, stuffed with people, assaulted by a symphony of screeching, dance floor. Still, it was contact with the opposite sex, albeit only a swiveling of hips and awkward placing of hands. It was a mash of friends, some old and some new, just trying to enjoy themselves in an environment designed for other things. It was even a little fun, too. Pretty much everyone was terrible at the act of dancing, so no one knew how bad their particular partner was, Nick and Violet being the exceptions. They had natural rhythm and training, so they knew their particular partners sucked, but they pressed on anyway. There was no conversation to be had on the floor,
only meaningful glances and more than one game of poorly played charades. In a way, this was a blessing, for if any word exchange had been possible, things might have played out differently. Herschel had been dancing with Stella for a few minutes when Nick and Bubbles wandered in. Herschel had to tip a mental hat to his friend. He'd come through on returning with a hottie in hand. Then he noticed the pair that had followed them in and begun dancing. By luck of the draw, Mary had wound up dancing with Steve, whose broad shoulders and square jaw told the story of a powerful man. A man who was capable and strong, who could get things done. In other words, a man who had all the qualities Herschel only experienced vicariously through Roy. Herschel's heart sank. He should have asked her when he had the chance. Now, this guy would dance with her all night. After all, who would be stupid enough to let Mary get away? Well, besides him. No, this guy would charm and woo her, then ask her out at the end of the night. They'd start a long-lasting relationship, get married, and Herschel would never see that window of opportunity open again. It was over. He'd missed his shot. Then, something stirred within Herschel he hadn't felt since he was stranded on the mountain. Sheer, stupid desperation. Roy hadn't been there to help him. His only way out had been to press on no matter what. It was a situation where all he could do was try and move upward, because there was no other option. He didn't know why, but somehow it was the same now. He had to try. There was no other option. Herschel made a polite series of hand gestures to Stella, then began shoving his way through the crowd. It was hard, vaguely disgusting work due to all the sweat. He parted the sea of bodies swimming in sound, step by difficult step. He reached Mary and Steve just as the song was changing. Briefly, he contemplated abandoning this foolishness and running like hell. Instead, he tapped Mary on the shoulder. She turned around and looked up at him. Mary wasn't even bothering to try and read minds with the noise smashing all around her, but when she looked up at Herschel, she didn't need to. What he wanted couldn't have been any clearer. She looked at Steve, mouthed the words, "Thank you for the dance," and then stepped into the arms of her new partner. In the grand scheme of things, it really wasn't very much, but it was progress. 85.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Today, we take the first steps toward mastering the fine art of battle,
Coach George said. It was Monday afternoon, and the combat class was back in the same room they had been in on Friday. The debris had mostly been cleared up, though a keen eye could still spot a few remaining signs along the ground.
Not surprisingly, this will start with learning how to fight,
Coach George continued.
Now, I'll take a minute here to make sure I'm clear. When I say fight, I don't mean zip around or turn the ground into fudge or any other such bullcrap. That's called strategy, and that comes later. When I say fight, what I mean is the ability to get the crap kicked out of you and the strength to knock the teeth out of someone's head, which, incidentally, will be a test later in the year.
Some of the students exchanged worried glances. A few days ago, they would have assumed he was joking, but after Friday...
We're talking about today, though, and this will be the same thing we do for the next several months, so I'd pay attention if I were you. The procedure is simple. I'll call you out in pairs. You'll find one of the many red circles located on the ground in this room. You'll both step in the circle. You'll beat each other senseless until the end of class. You'll go get healed and come back fresh next time. Wash, rinse, repeat.
What exactly does this teach us? Stella asked from her place in line.
200 push-ups for speaking without being called on, Coach George snapped at her. That kind of crap might fly in the dean's class, but I think you'll find me a lecturer much less appreciative of interruption.
Stella looked like she was ready to object for a moment, but her eyes wandered to one of the scorch marks from the last class's brawl. A brawl in which she'd been trounced with ease. She got down and began doing the reps.
Since Hawkins was smart enough to take her lumps and shut her mouth, I'll answer her question,
Coach George resumed.
This is teaching you all the basics of fighting. Not the movements, not the reflexes, not the martial arts, the real basics. Hit and get hit. Be hurt and push through. Feel the painful impact of your knuckles on another person's bones. Those are the lessons you can only learn through experience. Now, I know some of you have had those lessons firsthand already, but these are ones you can never really have too much of. So for now, you learn to fight. Once you've all got that down pat, we move on to how to win.
Coach George examined the students looking back at him. They were a little worried. Most of them seemed to still feel confident, though. After all, they were warriors, and this was sparring. How bad could it be?
I do have a few rules you should know about, though. First off is that if you get knocked out of the circle, your opponent will get to take a penalty shot at your face, a shot you will not dodge or block. Secondly is that I'm the one who determines your opponent each day, so don't bother me with requests. Sometimes you'll fight people better than you, sometimes worse, but I'll be keeping careful track of how you all do and making my choices to maximize everyone's education. Third, the fights go on until the end of class. If you're knocked unconscious, we'll grab you a healer and you'll get back at it. I don't care how much you ache or how tired you are. You fight to the end. No exceptions. Fourth is the last rule, the most important rule, and my personal favorite rule.
A large, unsettling smile crept across Coach George's face.
No powers.
I trust everyone completed the weekend's assignment, Coach Persephone said as the students fell into line. There was a mumbling to the affirmative that was to be expected. Alice, for once, didn't shoot her hand up to volunteer as an example. For some reason, she'd felt all out of sorts since Friday night, unable to really focus on the assignment and come up with a cool experiment. She'd ultimately settled on trying to levitate just one part of herself, specifically her hair, Sunday evening. It had been even less successful than it was interesting or impressive.
Rich Weaver, Coach Persephone called out, pointing to a dark-haired boy with a goatee. In what new way did you try to use your power?
I tried to seal a cat in its own mind,
Rich replied promptly.
I've never tried it on animals before.
Not much in the way of a new technique, but it was an honest attempt, Coach Persephone said. Did it work?
I'm not really sure,
Rich admitted.
The cat just sat there and stared at me, but it was doing that beforehand, too. Next time, I think I'll try a more active animal.
Good idea, Coach Persephone agreed. Brittany Fletcher, what was your attempt?
I tried to make a force field,
Brittany said. Coach Persephone blinked in surprise.
I was under the impression your power was invisibility.
It is.
Then what would make you think that would in any way lend itself to sustaining a maintained field of defensive energy?
Coach Persephone asked. Brittany shrugged in response.
You said to try something really different.
You overshot the goal a bit there, dear,
Coach Persephone told her.
All right, let's move on to Nick Campbell. I trust after our little talk on Friday, you decided to give our homework a try?
I did indeed, Nick said. I tried to use my power in a whole new way.
Do tell.
I tried to get laid, Nick stated proudly. The silence that followed his statements lasted several seconds. Seconds that consisted of the others looking at him with a mix of entertainment, curiosity, and disgust from those who suspected the worst. Unfortunately, Coach Persephone's particular expression fell into the last category. Nick at last acknowledged the stares by looking around and raising his hands.
What'd I say?
You attempted to use your power. The thing that makes you a super and places you in a class of elite beings more capable than any mere human, for sexual gratification?
Coach Persephone asked, in a very strained voice.
Dick's not gonna suck itself, Nick replied.
You used your gift to try and manipulate some unsuspecting girl into intercourse, and you have so little remorse you can make flippant jokes about it? Nick Campbell, I am very close to hurling you out of this class right now,
Coach Persephone threatened.
Do what you have to do, Nick replied, but let's get something straight. I did the assignment. I didn't do anything illicit or manipulative, though. At our age, sex is 80% pure chance of opportunity. I used my luck to heighten the probability of meeting a girl who found me to be a viable and desirable partner. No influence on anything but sheer chance. It was a valid attempt to try my power in a new way. I mean, hell's bells, another term for sex is getting lucky. I did exactly what you told me, lady, so don't go getting too high on your soapbox.
Coach Persephone's lips were pressed into a thin line. The students nearest to Nick began edging away, just in case she let loose with more of the twitching-on-the-floor power. Instead, she released a long, deep breath.
Were you successful?
Coach Persephone asked.
Yes and no, Nick said. I probably could have been, but it turns out just finding someone who wants you doesn't mean you'll want them, too.
True. Good job. And one more thing.
Yes, ma'am? Nick asked.
You were right in that I was jumping to conclusions on what you'd done. You were also right to fully explain yourself before I acted. However, speak to me in a tone that disrespectful again, and I'll leave you a drooling, piss-soaked mess on the floor.
Coach Persephone said, with surprising evenness to her tone.
Noted, Nick said.
Coach George could see the desire to speak, to argue, to be contrary in the face of what he'd just told them. Hawkins was still on the floor, pounding out her push-ups, though, and that was an audible reminder that unwarranted comments were not appreciated in his class.
I know some of you are wondering why I would do this. Others of you have already put it together. For the sake of you dumber students, I'll explain. You're going to fight people who are stronger and faster than you eventually. Right now, I want you learning to fight at a base level. Powers come later, once you've proven you're competent enough to handle them. We'll use them, just not until you're ready. Any questions?
No one raised their hand. They were learning, slowly, but they were learning.
Good. When I call your names, grab your partner and get in a circle. Once everyone is assigned, the circles will glow red. Start smacking the shit out of each other, and don't stop until those bastards go dark. Clear?
Yes, sir!
This was yelled by a large majority.